Some years ago, a young couple at a church that I was serving at the time adopted two children, a two-year-old and a five-year-old, both of them from Russia. As the church family watched these two young children come into our midst, I was continually struck by just how great the change was in these children's lives. For them, it was not simply a matter of moving from one home to another, a physical change. It was not simply a matter of moving from Russian to English, a language change. It was not simply a matter of moving from an institution where they had lived into a family life and a community and a neighborhood, but everything. Everything was different. The food, the smells, the sights, the sounds, absolutely everything. These two young children were forced to make an incredible adjustment. They were forced to change. We're reminded today that being a Christian is like that. We're adopted into the family of Christ, loved and beloved, and enjoying together as part of God's family everything, absolutely everything, changes. It can't simply be a matter of just fitting Jesus into our present way of thinking, but instead the invitation is to be transferred, to be moved, to be deported from one kingdom into another, from one way of living into another. Nothing is as we have known it. Such is the case with change and transformation. Christ the King Sunday. The final Sunday in a year, in a church season, in a liturgical year. You may have noticed the green colors in the sanctuary are gone. Today, white. White, this holy color, if you will, in the tradition, marks this end of a season and launches us into something new, into an Advent. Today we stop in some ways to take stock of the year. What has the life of the church been in this year? How do we celebrate those ways that God has been active and moving in the midst of our lives? How do we celebrate Christ as the King of all things? It's a moment to acknowledge that God is at the first and last and in the center of all things, to acknowledge the kingship and the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Indeed, our story reminds us that it is the King's might that keeps his people strong and leads them. It's as if today we can almost hear the trumpet calling, that sound, a list of entities over which Christ is King, is sovereign, is head, and also an announcement about what is to come. Neither powers, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor things visible, nor invisible. But Christ reigns and has power over all things, over all of life and death, and even life beyond death. Today we see an integration of Christ, a call to be made whole to be made whole as servants of the King. Integration, an interesting word, one that's not used maybe that often in our world today. It's about coming together, about joining the parts, about being made whole. Integration, indeed, is a lifelong calling. It takes our whole lives to become integrated. And at the very same time, it is the work and the task of each and every single day of our lives. Daily, we are called to be more and more Christ-like, more connected to our true, our divine, our very best selves. I've been reading lots about neuroscience these days. Didn't do much scientific study as part of my formal education, but I'm fascinated by the things that we're learning. Dr. Daniel Siegel says that integration is the linkage of differentiated elements. The bring together of things which seem separate. He issues an invitation to all of us. Move beyond this either-or thinking, where something must be either this or it must be that. And instead discover the both and. We can be unique. Stand on our own, be differentiated, be who we were created to be. At the very same time, we can be connected to each other. We can be connected to ourselves, we can be connected to the world around us, and to God. On this Christ the King Sunday, we discover an invitation. An invitation to say yes. To say yes, to be integrated. I want to suggest there might be five keys to discovering this integration in your own life. These could be daily habits that you practice. They likely already are daily habits that you practice. It might lead to integration within yourself. Integration with others, integration with the whole world, with God's creation, and it might lead also to integration with God. The first of these things is listening. But I know how to listen. Of course you do. We all do. We all have learned how to listen in order to reply. Listening is a strange force. The friends who listen well are the ones that we are drawn more towards. And when we are listened to, not just the words that come out of our mouth, but what our body, what our spirit, what our soul is saying, when we are listened to in that way, it creates and makes us unfold and expand. Listening. The second key is intuition. An ability to sense or to know what's going on without being told directly or without logical analysis. People often call it that gut feeling. I describe it as your spidey senses, and you get that tingling. Do you know where you sense intuition in your body? How often have you said the following out loud? I didn't follow my intuition, but I wish I had. Listening, intuition. The third is curiosity. Curiosity is this space of not knowing. Not having the answer, not having it all figured out, but staying open and not judging. You know, when I watch children, they do this brilliantly. They're curious about so many things. about who they are, about who you are, about the world around us. They ask wonderful, brilliant, powerful questions, sometimes many times over. We as adults, we struggle so much with being curious. We know what's happening. Well, that happens, and then this happens, and we've got to figure it out. And when that person does that, then it must mean that's who they are. And then if they do that, well, then I know that's really who they are, so I can judge them for that. Childlike curiosity. Make a conscious choice to get and to stay curious. Listening, intuition, curiosity. There's something about deepening learning and forwarding action. So often I think in the church, or at least in church circles I run in, we spend hours and hours and hours deepening learning. We like to take things apart and put them back together, and we like this knowledge. We like things to be rational, they need to make sense. And so often we learn much, and then we stop. Either or. We need to continue to do that learning, but with learning must come action, movement. There's both a being and a doing. Learning and action. Listening, intuition, curiosity, learning and action. And the last one, maybe the most difficult, being responsible for yourself. We live in a world that likes to blame everyone and everything. We live in a world that likes to complain about all things, all people even. You know this world. I see the smirks on your faces right now. All you have to do is turn on the TV, have a conversation with someone, overhear a conversation. But how do we take responsibility for ourselves? Knowing that our emotional brain always will respond faster than our thinking brain. In the midst of those moments, how can we be calm and courageous no matter what? You are a leader. Do you show up as a leader being calm and courageous, being 100% responsible for yourself? The keys to integration. Listening, intuition, curiosity, deepening learning, forwarding action, and being responsible for ourselves. What does this have to do with Christ and Christ being King? Christ the King is whole, calls us to be made whole, to put Christ at the center of all things. These five ways of being, these five keys, may help you find that wholeness. Might help you not get confused about priorities, either your personal priorities or our communal priorities together in the days ahead. Colossians says it like this: Christ is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. I wonder how many of our concerns or our complaints or our arguments might be solved by asking if this allows Christ to have the first place. Or the same question a different way: did Jesus die for this? There cannot be any higher priority than serving Christ, who is fully integrated, who has opened the way to heaven. So let us say yes today to Christ the King. Let us also say yes during this season of Advent. Both an invitation and a theme during Advent this year might take on several meanings for us as a church family. We look with anticipation to the birth of the Christ child who is to come. We celebrate the reign of Christ who is to return And we, as a church family, face a moment of significant change within our congregation. A moment of new birth, of doing ministry, a new model, a new structure. Saying yes. Mary says yes to God. Joseph says yes to God. The shepherds say yes to God, and in doing so, they leave behind absolutely everything that they have known. So Advent is a time of waiting for God, but Advent too is a time of God waiting for us. Waiting for us to be brave like Mary, to be kind like Joseph, to be daring like the shepherds, and to be generous like those wise travelers. Saying yes to God. Those children who were adopted, who came from Russia, they've grown up. They've become adults. They've become part of the life and family of a community of faith and the whole community. For them, in the midst of that season, that Advent, that new beginning, everything changed. The sights, the smells, the sounds, it all changed. It was all new. But Christ was and is at the center of it all. Christ remains King. We, my friends, are invited to say yes. In the name of the Creator, and the Redeemer, and the Sustainer, Amen.